James in Belfast. Morning, James.
Morning, Stephen.
And Barry and Nigel and Fra and Stephen. Go on, James.
My concern is obviously with the withdrawal now from the European Union. What about the European investment into our infrastructure, for example, the A5, the A2? Obviously now that's not going to happen. So any inward investment, people wanting to invest in building businesses, isn't, just simply are not going to have the infrastructure to do that. So it's going to cost us jobs.
Will we remain part of the European Union for, it's up to the next 2 years, isn't it?
Yes, but Stephen, the European Union isn't just going to hand us money over the next 2 years. They're going to say, well, you guys are going out. Let's delay that decision till you're out, and then you're not going to get it. Would you give money to somebody you're going to leave in a year's time, 2 years' time? No, you're not. They're going to make all the reasons in the world to delay the decisions and then just say, well, bugger it, you're out anyway.
Did you vote in?
I voted in, yes, absolutely. And look what's happened. Everything they forecast, the euro's down 8% today. If you're going to watch Northern Ireland suddenly and you buy your plane ticket today, it's 8-10% dearer today than it was yesterday. Everything's going to suddenly happen. Now, that volatility may settle down, but that's the uncertainty. It's that uncertainty. We don't know how long it's going to last for. It's going to stop people making investment decisions. It's going to create uncertainty, and we will lose jobs in this province purely just on the infrastructure projects that I've just mentioned.
Well, stay there, because I don't think Fra agrees with you. Morning, Fra.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you, mate?
Go on. You've heard James's assessment there.
Yes. Good morning, James. How are you, mate? Stephen, I was really phoning in to point out the disconnect between the voters and the government, and really the disparity of kind of wages and opportunities and the infrastructure in between the north and the south of England, which is where the vote came in. I see the vote to leave the EU as an anti-austerity and an anti-neoliberal vote. And what I would like to say going forward is that the people who voted out have voted for national sovereignty. And while people claim society is going to move further and further to the right because immigration was such a big part of the debate, I think immigration was being used as an excuse by the right for, you know, the failures within the health service, public housing, public jobs, investment in infrastructure.
James?
Because of the neoliberal...
I would agree immigration has taken over the economic debate for the benefits of the European Union. It's not perfect. Everybody has said that. But actually what you've said is right. The number of illegal immigrants coming through the lorries, the tunnels, whatever way they get across, isn't going to stop because we're in or out. It isn't going to stop. I agree totally with what the guy has said. But my point is, the amount of money Northern Ireland particularly got out of the European Union means that will now dry up, and any investment in infrastructure means we will get less investment in creating jobs because we just simply don't have the infrastructure in place in our country to create that now. And anybody in Europe says, well, we've got 2 years to wait. They're just going to sit Europe and say, in the next 2 years, we're not going to give you much because we know you're going anyway.
Stephen, I never actually mentioned illegal immigration because it's such a tiny part of immigration that comes into the country. But what we really need here is a proper left alternative to the austerity policies being brought in across Europe by the right. And the way to do that is to build on this vote to leave the EU, which I voted in favour of leaving the EU, and I think it's very important that we build this alternative to the right-wing racism, anti-immigration, and if the corporations pay their taxes, then there would be plenty of money within society to pay for the health service.
So give me some practical examples of what you're going to do.
What I'm going to do?
I'm going to join with
anyone who's prepared to fight austerity, anyone who's prepared to try and change the governmental policies that are in place. What we need is a viable left-wing alternative, to the fact that corporations earn more money, the rich are getting richer. Richard, there's tax avoidance, there's tax evasion. There's plenty of money within society if it was redistributed, and it wouldn't affect the rich as much as people seem to think.
Okay.
Or the corporations or the companies.
So let me ask you a simple question.
Go ahead.
You need finance to create jobs. So you need wealthy people or wealthy organisations to create
jobs. To pay their taxes.
If you redistribute the wealth, where do you get the wealth to create from?
If they pay their taxes, brother, there's a huge opportunity here to build on the discontent. The discontent we have is because of the cuts and the neoliberal agenda that's brought in, the waiting lists in the health service, the cutting of teachers' jobs,
you're
losing 20,000 public sector jobs.
You're getting
here,
a new Prime Minister. So
let's
see who the new Prime Minister is. Cameron's gone, or he'll be gone in a couple of months. His resignation within hours of that Leave vote. Some political commentators saying that was inevitable. David Bannerman is with us this morning, and Edwina Curry as well. Edwina, good morning,
morning
to you. Former Tory Edwina Curry, Conservative MEP David Bannerman. Good day for you, David.
Oh, it's amazing, actually. And I do thank the British people for putting it there, you know, for shrugging off all this scaremongering and the hectoring and actually sticking to principle and not being frightened and doing the right thing. I really think it's an amazing day.
Anybody who owns shares this morning might be frightened.
Well, you can see, actually, I was just following the BBC, that half of them had come up again. You know, markets go down, markets go up. They've been sort of, you know, the uncertainty is gone. We know where we are now. Things will come back into a kilter pretty shortly.
Edwina?
Well, actually, the uncertainty's just started, hasn't it? And we don't know for a start who our Prime Minister's going to be in a couple of months' time. And I was just listening to the discussion a moment ago about fighting austerity. What are we going to fight the austerity with? You know, these are big international issues. The idea that we've somehow regained control when, in fact, we are very much at the mercy of international flows of money, as I think one of your callers demonstrated, it's made things much more difficult, much more difficult, let alone when you start thinking about the politics of it all and the border and so on. Awful.
I see in the monitors I have here in the studio, there's a press pack swarming around Boris Johnson, who they thought was going to be making a statement. He's whizzed off in a car, Edwina. Is he the next Prime Minister?
Oh, he could be. He could be. And in fact, I was just thinking about it. He could easily find himself as the Conservative Gordon Brown. I mean, Gordon Brown became Prime Minister in the wake of a desperate national international crisis, then heavily got blamed for the austerity outcome of that, and then found himself out on his ear with a wrecked reputation and the other side having won. If that happens, you heard it here first. I hope it doesn't, but it's at least a possibility.
Who are the front runners for the job, David?
Well, it's difficult to know at this stage. You know, as I say, I do regret the Prime Minister going. I feel David Cameron is a class act, and I would like him to have certainly, you know, done the negotiations, because he's been doing a lot of those recently, as we know. But it's a shame. But I mean, I think that the problem is that all this scaremongering and hectoring of the British people has really backfired. It was a huge misjudgment. And I'm afraid he's paid the price of that. But I don't know. I think Boris is a great character. I mean, I don't know how Edwina actually compares him to Gordon Brown. He's far more entertaining than Gordon Brown.
Well, I totally agree with that. And
Theresa May will fancy a chance at it, won't she?
Well, let me, before David Cameron disappears into a footnote in history, let's just say he's been, I think, an excellent Prime Minister. He led a coalition in extremely difficult times. There is a reason why the United Kingdom has become one of the fastest growing countries and why we've returned to prosperity, and certainly in most of the country, and that's because of the calm and wise leadership that he showed.
This is what he will be remembered for, the man who lost the referendum.
That's right. There are moments like that in political lives when you think, oh dear, that's the main line in my obituary. I can see it being written now. And it's a shame if that's all we remember, because I think he's done a remarkable job. And I hope that's the way he's remembered in at least some hearts.
He was emotional outside Downing Street today. We're going to play his full statement in about 10 minutes' time if you've missed it this morning. We'll bring you what David Cameron said in full later in the programme today. So I'm just thinking of some of those who will fancy the job, Edwina. Will Michael Gove want it?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a bit of a poison chalice, I would think. They're going to start off with it being very exciting and full of joy and, you know, full of excitement and all the rest of it. Actually, getting those renegotiations right is heaven's own job. The main increase in jobs for Northern Ireland everywhere else is going to be diplomats and specialists and economists and trade deal people, because we're going to have to work flat out to replace all those deals and to do it in a reasonable period of time.
Are you concerned now about the country, Edwina, or not?
I think we're going to go through a tough patch. I can't see how on earth we can get any kind of positive bounce out of this. And whoever is doing that Prime Minister's job is coming in with a lot of expectation, awful big weight on their shoulder. I bet Boris, I mean, I'm interested in David's view on this, I bet Boris never ever thought that this would happen. He thought that what was going to happen was that we would get a vote for staying in the EU, and then he could challenge David Cameron and use the votes of the Conservative members of the party.
Go on,
and
David.
He wouldn't have to worry about doing any renegotiation. It's a very, very different scenario.
I think Boris is shown himself to be a man of principle. He's taking a big risk here. You know, he could have become a real cropper if Remain had won. He's been talking about democracy. It's about who governs us, and it's about taking back control of our country, which we're doing now, thank God. And I think he deserves huge credit for that, really. And I don't think that's a base motive for him. I mean, let's see. I mean, there are other people like Liam Fox who've done really well in this referendum campaign. I don't think Theresa May actually has acquitted herself well. She sat on the fence. I don't think she's going to satisfy a lot of the Brexit supporters, frankly, because she's done, you know, she hasn't actually risen to the challenge.
Somebody like Amber Rudd, I think, has acquitted herself well. I think there could be some new faces that appear, and this often happens when
you have leadership. That's what happened with John Major, wasn't it? John Major came from
exactly
nowhere.
Exactly right, because it became not this person, not that person, so the third choice came through.
What about the SNP? Will they now push and get another referendum? Could we have this being the start? Interesting from a local perspective, the critics of the DUP would say that what they have done here in supporting a Brexit is that they have started the ball rolling for the SNP to get another referendum, which could break up the UK.
Can I take that one? I mean, look, I think this is completely unrealistic. I mean, I know people that say that, you know, Nicola Sturgeon needs a second referendum like a hole in the head. I mean, the reality is, I was in Quebec recently. They've had two referenda. Both were lost. Now, independence has probably disappeared from the political agenda in Quebec. Now, that's their nightmare, the SNP. Now, the point is, as of today, we're going to delegate back or devolve back to Scotland fishing and farming, some energy and environment and probably tourism powers from the EU. And I think they're going to feel more independent, like Iceland and Norway feel independent, which I know well, but within the UK.
Edwina?
And I think that's really good news.
The Quebec example will haunt Nicola. That's absolutely right.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
She has the power to call another referendum. She could do it through the Scottish Parliament. She could devote the millions of pounds it actually costs to do this sort of thing. And she could call another one. But she would be in exactly the same economic situation as she was before, which is that Scotland on its own is not a viable country. They wish to be, but they're not.
Right, let's hear from some of our callers this morning. Nigel in Belfast. Morning, Nigel.
Hi, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I was going to talk to Sammy and Declan, but maybe Fra would be a better person. The left wing fantasist. I'm looking at the map, the Leave Remain map, and it's very, very bad news if you're Labour. It's hard to imagine any election that's going to happen later on this year is anything other than a very, very strongly English nationalist outcome. Will there be a referendum in Scotland, or will there be a border poll in Northern Ireland this year? You know, don't be daft. That's not going to happen. But in 5, 10, 15
years... Well, Sinn Féin would have something to say about that.
Well, okay, but let's talk seriously. In 5 or 10, 15 years of English nationalist rule, is Scotland going to like that? Are we going to like that? I'm a middle-class Protestant. You know, I might start saying, well, actually, a United Ireland doesn't look such a bad deal. I look at the electoral poll. If I was Jeremy Corbyn, and if I was an MP in the north of England, I'd be very, very nervous. Look what happened after the after the Scottish nationalists had their thing. They lost the referendum, but they killed Labour because people made a decision to say, "I'm now a nationalist. I'm voting SNP."
Nigel, thank you. Thank you, Pamela in Belfast. Morning, Pamela.
I'll have to wait until my...
Hello, Pamela.
Hello.
Go ahead.
How are you, Stephen?
Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. I was really disgusted hearing Sammy Wilson earlier. I've always been an Alliance voter. I voted for the UUP on occasion to keep the DUP out, to be quite frank. But when I heard his comments, I just thought, there's no hope for this country. You know, you go through years and you live in here. I'm in my 40s. And you think that we're getting somewhere. And then you hear comments like that this morning. And the polarisation in politics here, it just disgusts me. And I really thought when the EU referendum, there's a chance for us to show that we're part of more than just a sum of our whole, you know, one small region. And to hear those comments this morning, I just think we're not getting anywhere. I never thought in my life that I would agree with Sinn Féin. But I'll tell you, honestly, I'll be applying for an Irish passport to remain part of the
Why?
EU. Because I feel really strongly that we, this country, as a nation, this nationalism that we have is it's no good for any of us, especially in Northern Ireland. I don't think it's going to be any good in you know, far right rising in England either. But especially as part of Northern Ireland, and you know, I think we should remain part of a bigger society, and we should have sympathy for the people coming into this country and the migrants that need people's help. And that's never going to happen with Boris Johnson sitting as Prime Minister. It depresses me. That's the truth. I've never run into your show in my life, but I was just...
I'll tell you what, you've just raised... Edwina Kerr, are you still there? Oh, she's gone. She's gone. Eamon McCann's joining us now. Morning to you, Eamon.
Good morning.
There's something just entered my head, actually, based on what Pamela just said there. Maybe you can answer this for me, Eamon. So for those people living in Northern Ireland, who want to remain an EU citizen. And let's remember that the majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the EU.
Indeed, indeed.
Do you just apply, if you haven't already got one, for an Irish passport? Because, of course, anybody living in Northern Ireland can. And therefore, you could remain an EU citizen. Is that a little get-out clause for Northern Irish people, a loophole?
Well, it is the implication of the laws on citizenship and the practice on citizenship we've had so far, you know. But there is, as we all know, going to be all sorts of renegotiations going on now, which in my view are going to last for more years than has been implied in some of the statements this morning, and all those things will come into the mix.
We're going to take you back, Eamon, and try to fix your line, just so we can hear you a bit clearer. Thomas in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas.
Hey there, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, you voted to remain?
Just about, Stephen. I was sort of...
So will you begin down applying for... Will you begin down applying for an Irish passport now to keep your...
I've an Irish passport, Stephen. I've an Irish passport for 20-odd years.
Have you?
I have a British and Irish passport, so I'm a British citizen and an Irish citizen, so...
By the way, I want to check that with someone. I'm just surmising that. I'm just wondering, does that mean if you want to remain an EU citizen, that you can go and apply for an Irish passport? We'll check it behind the scenes here. But I'm guessing, that would be the case.
I'm not too sure, Stephen. Obviously, it's something that needs to be looked at legally, but then I was just phoning in there. I mean, I think Cameron's jumped the gun a wee bit here, because I had it in my head, sort of, which made me vote to remain. I was very skeptical. I was out one day and then the next, because I was listening to the arguments, and there was good arguments on both sides. But I sort of had it in my head that Cameron could have went back to the EU, because the EU obviously want the United Kingdom to remain. I thought Cameron could have went back to them and said to them, look, we have voted out here. We're out of this here. We're away. We want, if you want us to remain that much, we want more of the conditions that we were asking for. And he could have maybe got some of the things that, obviously people are worried about immigration, and quite rightly so, because it has to be sorted out one way or the other. There's all the other points that he was asking for, and I thought he could have went back to them and said, look, we're away, we want some more conditions, we want the things that we asked for in the first place at that original meeting, because he didn't come out with enough, and they might have said, right, that's okay. He could have came back to the people of the United Kingdom and said, look, we've got all your worries and concern, we've got it sorted, and we'll be happy to remain. Because as far as I'm aware, Stephen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's still to go to Parliament, and Parliament have to accept this year. It's the same as, remember, the Republic of Ireland had a vote and they didn't like it, so they had another one, and then they had another one until they got their own way. But I thought Cameron could have went back and bargained more.
Okay, thank you very much, Thomas. Eamon McCann, back with us, hopefully in a better line, and SLP's Claire Hanna. Morning, Eamon, again.
Hello.
That's better, that's better. And Claire, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Will you be disappointed, Claire?
Yes, I am disappointed, and I'm worried, and I've spent the last few months saying this is not in Northern Ireland's interest, and it isn't, and the majority of people in Northern Ireland realise that, and we're being pulled out of this by English nationalism, and referenda in the south have shown that people north and south want to be in the European Union, and there is some serious constitutional picking and unpicking and negotiation ahead by UK government, but by our own government, who spent the first 20 minutes of your programme gleefully poking each other in the eye. And yeah, I'm very worried and I'm disappointed and I'm sad.
Eamon?
Well, I mean, I think none of us really knows how this thing's going to pan out, sort of in my own judgment, and that's all it can be, because all of us are indulging in speculation as to what's going to happen now. My own judgment would be that this is a process which, if it ever goes to full term, as it were, is going to take years, sort of, and not months, and a lot more years than has been suggested. And one of the most interesting things that I've heard today, and I'm surprised there hasn't been a wee bit more comment on it, that if I heard him rightly, and I haven't heard the thing repeated, Cameron said outside Downing Street that the negotiations would have to involve the governments of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland.
Correct.
That opens up a very interesting line of argument. Are we going to have, you know, direct involvement in this? Because that would make the argument in the north and the arguments to be put forward a lot more real. Because it would have to be given a mandate to the people representing this place. And I think that's very interesting indeed.
Well, Stephen, just coming in on that, with all the things, and Cameron, his days are now very much numbered, but I can tell you now, whether it's Boris Johnson or Michael Gove, I don't think they will give more than 1 or 2 seconds thought to the minutiae of Northern Ireland and the complexities of our situation here. Because, and I think, I mean, as they were saying before the referendum, I think the border will likely be the hard border, but will be with Great Britain, because with respect, we're all paddies to them. I don't think it's that that nuance for them, but there will be a role for negotiation here, and I think for those of us, you know, as I say, 57% of people here did vote to remain in the European Union, and they voted for the stability and the cooperation and the hope that they saw in the European Union, and while that project, unfortunately, isn't going to be the one that we're delivering for them, it is our job to try and deliver the same aims, and that's certainly what we'll be trying to do in the negotiations.
Okay, Eamon and Claire, thank you very much indeed. Good morning to you. Stephen and Derry. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, it's great. It's great to watch from the side in the Civil War going on within the Conservative Party, but that's not what I came on to say about. I came on the comment on Declan Kearney's comments about the austerity measures.
Very quickly maybe, now, Stephen, because 20 seconds.
Maybe opposed. By the way, okay, I'll make it quick, Stephen. Him and his party signed up the austerity measures. They're the first to impose them. And they asked for $700 million to pay off civil servants. And they have a cheek to come on the radio and cry
about
austerity
measures. They
didn't
ask for $700 million. It wasn't $700 million.
They have to pay it back. And they have a cheek to come on there and complain about austerity measures.
Stephen,
they're part of the same system that's imposing them.
Stephen, thank you very much. As well as the decision to leave the EU being big news today, the Prime Minister has announced his resignation. He'll be gone in months. Here's some of what David Cameron said outside 10 Downing Street this morning.
Over 33 million people from England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and Gibraltar have all had their say. We should be proud of the fact that in these islands we trust the people with these big decisions. We not only have a parliamentary democracy, but on questions about the arrangements for how we're governed, there are times when it is right to ask the people themselves, and that is what we have done. The British people have voted to leave the European Union, and their will must be respected. The will of the British people is an instruction that must be delivered. It was not a decision that was taken lightly, not least because so many things were said by so many different organisations about the significance of this decision. So there can be no doubt about the result. Across the world, people have been watching the choice that Britain has made. I would reassure those markets and investors that Britain's economy is fundamentally strong. And I would also reassure Brits living in European countries and European citizens living here that there will be no immediate changes in your circumstances. There will be no initial change in the way our people can travel, in the way our goods can move, or the way our services can be sold. We must now prepare for a negotiation with the European Union. This will need to involve the full engagement of the Scottish, Welsh, and Northern Ireland governments to ensure that the interests of all parts of our United Kingdom are protected and advanced. But above all, this will require strong, determined, and committed leadership. I'm very proud and very honoured to have been Prime Minister of this country for 6 years. I believe we've made great steps, with more people in work than ever before in our history, with reforms to welfare and education, increasing people's life chances, building a bigger and stronger society, keeping our promises to the poorest people in the world, and enabling those who love each other to get married, whatever their sexuality. But above all, restoring Britain's economic strength. And I'm grateful to everyone who's helped to make that happen. I've also always believed that we have to confront big decisions, not duck them. That is why we delivered the first coalition government in 70 years to bring our economy back from the brink. I was absolutely clear about my belief that Britain is stronger, safer, and better off inside the European Union. And I made clear the referendum was about this and this alone, not the future of any single politician, including myself. But the British people have made a very clear decision to take a different path. And as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction. I will do everything I can as Prime Minister to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months. But I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination. This is not a decision I've taken lightly, but I do believe it's in the national interest to have a period of stability and then the new leadership required. There is no need for a precise timetable today, but in my view, we should aim to have a new Prime Minister in place by the start of the Conservative Party conference in October. Delivering stability will be important, and I will continue in post as Prime Minister with my Cabinet for the next 3 months. A negotiation with the European Union will need to begin under a new Prime Minister. And I think it's right that this new Prime Minister takes the decision about when to trigger Article 50 and start the formal and legal process of leaving the EU. I will attend the European Council next week to explain the decision the British people have taken and my own decision. The British people have made a choice. That not only needs to be respected, but those on the losing side of the argument, myself included, should help to make it work. Now the decision has been made to leave, we need to find the best way. And I will do everything I can to help. I love this country, and I feel honoured to have served it. And I will do everything I can in future to help this great country succeed. Thank you very much.